This has been one of the more tragic aspects of the current conflict. I mean, the egregious crimes that have been committed by this Daesh on a daily basis against all individuals, any individual whom they suspect doesn't support them or believe in their ideology or support their rule, comes a potential target. And that means anyone. And in particular, members of ethnic and religious minorities have been particularly targeted. And women and children have suffered as well in probably unequal, very much, you know, unequal terms. We know that there are approximately still 3,500 women, predominantly from the Yazidi community, but also from other ethnic minority communities who are currently enslaved to the Daesh. And we have serious concerns about their safety and what's going to happen to them. So, you know, documenting these sort of violations has been one of the most painful aspects of what we've had to do.
When I was in Baghdad back in April 2014, I heard from the Sheikh of the Yazidi to welcome all the victims of Daesh back into the community. How that help really their integration?
Helped enormously. That's helped enormously because, you know, in the beginning, you've got to understand a lot of these communities, and it's not about religion, it's more about cultural environment that a lot of these communities have been living in. They're very conservative, very remote communities, very isolated. And so they've got a lot of very traditional views on things. And when the Daesh first seized large areas of Iraq and had enslaved large numbers of women and children, we had Yazidi men, for example, coming to us and saying that they knew their women were being held in a particular location and that they wanted us to tell the international coalition that they should bomb that site and kill them all. And when I'd say to them, what, you want your wives and children to die? And they would say, well, it's better they're dead than live with the shame. So we were really concerned that even if these women and children were freed from the Daesh, that they may suffer other harms as a result of those traditional views about shame and what they may have been subjected
to.
So the declaration by Baba Sheikh, the spiritual leader of the Yazidi, was really helpful by announcing that, in fact, all the victims were ritually pure, that they had not been defiled in any way whatsoever. It was a really big boon for us and for the women themselves to ensure that they'll be welcomed back by their communities and not rejected by them, because that's the last thing that we want to see happen, is re-victimization of people who've already been victims.
Could you please share with us some of your findings, a story maybe?
There was a couple of girls that I met. They were teenage girls. They were 16 years old. And they had a terrible story because their father had been a policeman. And when the Daesh came to town, one of their neighbors actually came with the Daesh and pointed them out as being Yazidi. And the girls witnessed their father being shot dead in the front of the house by the Daesh. They just summarily killed him. They asked him if he would convert. And when he said no, they just killed him dead. They went to take the mother and the two daughters away, and they handed them to another Iraqi neighbor on cognizance that he had to hold them until they came back to collect them. Yeah. Now, what he did was, he, instead of handing them over to the Daesh, smuggled them out of Tel Afar to the Kurdish region of Iraq. And that took an enormous amount of bravery on the part of that individual. I understand later that he was killed by the Daesh for doing something similar. I mean, on other side of it, I've had some really horrendous stories. When women were first being taken by the Daesh, a lot of them had telephones with them. And the irony of the Daesh is that they would, you know, rape women, but they wouldn't search them, you know. So a lot of them had telephones, and they were actually calling me and other members of my staff directly from their captivity and telling us some of the horror that they were being subjected to. And that was absolutely heartbreaking to listen to what they and their children were having inflicted on them on a daily basis. Some of those women, though, later did manage to escape, thank God, and they managed to make it into safe areas of Iraq, and we were able to interview them and follow up and make sure that they were in receipt of some humanitarian assistance. But what was also good about that was that by getting there back into safe areas, we were also able to join them up with other humanitarian actors who could piece their families back together. But we have a number of instances like that, heartbreaking stories of people just suffering everyday tragedy. It's a terrible, terrible situation for everybody in Iraq. And of course, it won't end until the Daesh have been properly eliminated.